The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near, at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome back once again, everybody. You know, at this time of year, as the year draws to a close, right, and the sky begins to grow dark and winter draws near, every year at this time, the readings for Mass begin to speak about the last things in veiled, weighty, symbolic, poetic language, talking about the end of all things. You heard it in your first reading in the book of the prophet Daniel. "At that time shall arise Michael the archangel, a time unsurpassed in distress. Those sleeping in the earth shall awake, the just like the stars in the firmament, the wicked in everlasting horror and disgrace." Heard it in the gospel that we just got finished hearing, all those mysterious images. The sun will be darkened and the moon won't give its light and the stars of the firmament will be shaken. "And then you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Every year at this time, readings like this. Why do we read things like this? Why do we read every single year? Why do we read things like this every year? You want to know why? It's because the key to right living is remembering that your life is brief. You can't overemphasize that. The key to living well, and I'm not talking about living in fear or anything like that, the key to living rightly, to know what's important and to know what's not important, to know the difference between what matters, what does not matter, and what never did matter, is to remember that all of this is passing away. All of it. "Heaven and earth will pass away," our Lord says, "but my words will not pass away." That's why we read this every year. It's like what Psalm 90 said so well. It said, "Lord, help us know the shortness of our lives so that we can gain wisdom of heart." Now, before we talk about all that, can I unpack a couple of mysteries from the reading that you just heard? A couple of things. I bet you've heard this a million times, and maybe you've always wondered this. So just in case that's you, this is the answer to your prayers, all right? I'm going to try to explain a couple of mysteries. Here's the first mystery. Jesus says, "This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." And this, after it sounds like, he just gets finished describing the end of the world. You know, and here we are 2,000 years later. Did Jesus get it wrong? What do you think? No, he didn't get it wrong, but we need to understand what he meant, okay? Here's how you understand what he meant when he said that. You go back to the Old Testament that all the apostles and everyone who heard Jesus would have understood so well. You go back to the Old Testament, you find there's two kingdoms. There's the northern kingdom of Israel, there's a southern kingdom of Judah. All right, northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed by the most powerful army in the world, the army of Assyria, in the 8th century BC. The southern kingdom of Judah was destroyed by the most powerful army in the world, the army of the Babylonians, in the 6th century BC. But before either of them was destroyed, the prophets warned the people. The prophet Isaiah warned the people of the north. The prophet Jeremiah warned the people of the south. And this is what they said. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not shed its light, and the stars will fall from their firmament in the sky. They both said that same thing that Jesus just got finished saying. Why did they say that? Why did they use that image? Well, do you remember the very beginning of the book of Genesis? When God creates the heavens and the earth, what's the first thing he says? When he wants to make all creation, he says, "Let there be light." And he gave light to the sun, and he gave light to the moon, and he gave light to the stars. Well, now what's happening? The light's going out in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. It was the Old Testament prophet's way of saying, this city's about to be destroyed. And you want to know what happened 37 years after Jesus said those exact same words? The city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, who invaded and they leveled everything. They destroyed the temple, everything. And they called one generation back then, they called it 40 years. And so it's true. That generation didn't pass away until the things that Jesus had proclaimed took place. Here's the other mystery, I think, from this reading. Jesus says, only the Father knows when this is going to happen. Not the angels in heaven, and not even the Son. Well, wait a minute. Don't we, as soon as I'm done with this homily, don't we go back and we say our creed and we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God from true God? Yes. Here's one thing everybody at St. Jude Church needs to know the answer to. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God come down to earth, walked this earth and took flesh. That's who he is. Well, doesn't God know all things? Isn't that one of God's characteristics? Omniscience? Yeah, God knows all things. Well, what gives then? How can he say the Son doesn't know? Would you believe Jesus himself answers this question for us? It's in the Acts of the Apostles. Just before he ascends into heaven, the apostles press him one last time, tell us when the hour is going to be. And he says, it's not been given to me by the Father to reveal that to you. In other words, in his divine nature, he does know. He does know, but it hasn't been given him by the Father to reveal that to us. So let me throw out this question for you here this evening, just for fun. What if he did reveal that to us? What if he told us that this whole ball of wax is going to come to an end Tuesday afternoon? What if? Would it change the way you live? I'd like to imagine that if that were the case, that every last one of us would get down on our knees, pray God have mercy on our soul, get to confession, make a good act of contrition, say your prayers, make the sign of the cross, and get ready for the divine judgment. That's what I'd like to believe. But truth of the matter is, there'd probably be as many different responses as there are people here in this church. Probably be as many, as individual as each one of you. Some of you might go max out the credit card, right? Some of you might go to Dunkin' Donuts and just stay there. Because why not? Okay. But let me give you an answer now, something I've observed as a priest. Here's what human nature does under such circumstances. It lives even more intensely all of the commitments of mind and soul that it's already committed to living during life. Let me tell you, ideological U-turns and religious 180-degree hairpin turns, they almost never happen in life. As a priest, and I've been doing this for over 20 years, I have seen precisely once in my life a deathbed conversion. Once. Got a call to go up to the hospital. Go up to the hospital, and there's this woman. I'm told she has hours left to live. And she says, I want to be baptized. I want to meet the Lord. Baptized. I baptized her right there in the hospital. Took a syringe full of water and right over her forehead. And I gave her confirmation right on the spot and first communion, and she died within hours. That's the only time in my whole life I've ever seen a deathbed conversion once. For the most part, people die the way they live. People who live devout and prayerful lives are devout and prayerful all the way to the end. And people who don't live devout and prayerful lives, well, can I tell you a couple more stories? Got a call to go to the hospital one of these days. And they said, would you please go visit my uncle in the hospital? He's dying. He's checking out. So I go up to the hospital, and I go into the room, and there's this man in the designated room. And he takes one look at me, and he sees that I'm wearing a Roman collar. And I say, your family sent me here. I'm the priest. And he says, you're a Catholic priest? I say, I'm a Catholic priest, just like you asked for. In a spine-chilling yell, with all of his strength, he says, get out! He'd hear it all the way down the hall. Get out. And I said a prayer for the man's poor soul. But I couldn't help but wonder, as I was walking away from the room, I wonder if that man lived his whole life thinking, you know what, I can convert later, right? On my deathbed, there's always a chance later. Got another call. They said, go visit my uncle in the hospital. Please go visit my uncle. And so I go up to the room, and there's this man, and, you know, I'm in the right room, and I say, I'm the priest. You know, your family called. And he says, come back later. I'm busy. And it's true. He was busy. He was watching a movie. He was busy watching Al Pacino in Scarface. Come back later. Well, you know what I did? I came back later. And I got him when he was asleep. I got him. But still, you got to wonder what was going on in his heart. And I have no idea. But I wonder if in his heart and mind he always said, there's always later. And don't we live our lives and we know what we're supposed to do? And we always say, I'll convert later. I'll start going to church regularly every Sunday and holy day. I'll do that later. I'll start praying. I'll do that. It's very much like diet and exercise. Don't we all say we're going to do that later? I'm going to start that as soon as Thanksgiving is over, right? No, wait. Make that Christmas. No, actually New Year. Oh, the heck with it. I'll start after Ash Wednesday, right? I'll wait until Lent. Isn't that what we do? Well, the reason why we read these readings every year is to remind us that our Lord says, stop that thinking. The time to change your life is now. Because it's going to stop and it's going to end and it's going to come before you know it. And can I just give you one single word this evening? Just one single word to help you be ready for that moment. Here's your one word to help you be ready. That word is reconciled. You want to know what it means to be ready? Be reconciled. Be reconciled to God, first of all. You haven't been to confession in a long time? Just go. Don't put it off. You're not even sure there's going to be a next month or a next week, for that matter. Just go. Right? You say, I'm going to start going to Mass every Sunday. I really should start doing that. Start now. Say, I really should start praying more. But for goodness sake, start now. Don't put it off. Be reconciled to the Lord while you got breath. And the next thing now, this is even harder. Be reconciled to one another. St. John tells us you can't love the God you don't see unless you love the neighbor who you do see. But I really should say try to be reconciled to one another, because all you can do is try. It might work and it might not work. But on your soul, you want to face God in judgment, letting him know you tried. Maybe that means writing a letter. Maybe that means making a phone call. Maybe that means sending a text message. Maybe that means smiling and reaching out and offering to shake your hand and just saying, you know what, I'm sorry. And maybe they'll accept it and maybe they won't. But that's not your concern. Your concern is that you tried. You know, there's a haunting line that our Lord says in the scriptures. He says, if you're going to offer your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, stop. Leave your gift and go be reconciled with your brother. Notice, he doesn't say, you got something against your brother. He says, stop if your brother has something against you. How important it is that we hear these words and know the urgency of our Lord's call. You know, there's a sign in the sacristy back here. I have the same sign down in my office. I read it every single day. It says, priest of God, offer this Mass like it's your first Mass, like it's your last Mass, like it's your only Mass. I strive to do that. But I've always thought that's good advice for living. Child of God, live this day as though it was your first day, as though it was your last day, as though it was your only day. Our Lord's word is serious, sincere, and his call is urgent because, whether you like it or not, it's later than we think. Amen.